Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day we've had. And Lord, I thank you that tonight's evening is going to be just awesome with you, Lord. We're just going to have a potpourri tonight, Lord, that you just guide and lead us in the direction that you want us to go. And we thank you for it, Father. I thank you for the wonderful testimonies that are coming forth. And Lord, the work that you've done, my goodness gracious sakes alive, I tell you, it's just been mind-boggling to see these prayers being answered. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for strengthening our bodies as we work in you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's anointing on everybody is going to be awesome. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for when the man child comes, not only the man child, but the bride be led into the wilderness, Lord. We're looking forward to that mighty great time of your mighty, mighty signs and wonders that are going to follow your people, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you that signs and wonders are going to be tonight in this fellowship, that people's lives will be changed, that the physical lives will be changed, the mental lives will be changed, and the spiritual lives will be awesome, will be changed too, Lord. And we thank you for that. We love you, Lord, and we look forward to the day where we can walk hand in hand with you, Lord, through them cool gardens. It's going to be awesome. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Now, if y'all don't know, I'm in Arkansas, so that's the reason I'm kind of hit out here. What's the date today? Is it the 22nd? 22nd. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? What about praise report? Testimony. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I've got a couple testimonies. One was Sunday I went and changed the belt and the spark plugs on our vehicle, one of our vehicles. And I prayed beforehand and wife was praying, and so it went really quick and really easy. And so I just want to praise him for that. And then I was praying that the Lord would allow me to see the eclipse. And he did allow me to see it, you know, with me working. And our boss said, you know, everybody can go look at it if they want, you know. And so that was an awesome thing the Lord did. And I also pray that traffic would not slow me down any for work going to and back, you know, and it wasn't bad going to work or coming home work. Now the other directions, though,
I'm fixing to say you hit the right direction in the morning and in the evening.
So the Lord blessed me there, and I just want to praise him for
amen.
That.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Hey, Mike, this is Bill.
Yeah,
I had a prayer request
okay.
that you guys could just pray for me and or agree with me or whatever, that the Lord just gives me wisdom for my job and favor and anoints me to fast and pray while I work and just basically, you know, still be able to press in and still be able to focus on him while I go through a learning curve at work, you know.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just believe with Bill, hook our faith up with him that this is going to happen, and he's going to have a wonderful, wonderful job at this warehouse. He's got this new job, Lord, and we thank you that it's going to be a blessing to him and to the owners and to the people that work for him, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that Bill's going to be able to not only share the gospel, but to apply the gospel in his everyday work, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, brother. All right, Willie.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, you know, a really neat quick testimony, you know, just I think it was like 2 days ago, something like that. How many days ago? It may have been on a Sunday. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, it was on a Sunday, I believe. Yeah, Sunday. I just come off of fast, you know. I did a and I went to my friend's house, and I went home. I didn't know quite what to do after work. And I was like, Lord, you know, lead me to what you want me to do, because I don't know what to do. And I was praying that. And as I just finished praying that, you know, a friend called me. And he's like, hey, what you up to? You want to stop by? And usually when me and him get together, it's usually to talk about the word or to pray about things. And so I'm just like, you know, my flesh is like, oh, I don't want to go anywhere. I just got home. Trying to make every excuse in the book. And right after the moment I got through praying, you know, Lord, you know, lead me to what you want me to do. And so I went on it, you know, I said, you know, this is from the Lord. And I was going to call him earlier, you know, when I got on a certain street to see if he wanted me to come to his house, you know, but I stopped. And I said, you know, he might be, I was undecided. Because I thought I might get turned down. But he calls me. I go to his house. To make a long story short, you know, I ended my fast over his house, but I didn't tell him. You know, I just ate a couple popsicles and ended my fast, you know. And so we sat down, you know, I had an agenda on my mind, you know, to, you know, talk about the word, talk about some of the things we got, you know, stuff like that. We got agendas. We all got agendas. and so, you know, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit took over. I really can't tell you everything I prayed about, you know. But all I know is when I was done praying, there was this strong presence of sin. I mean, it was thick. It wasn't like, you know, the evil presence of the devil, it was sin, like sin. I don't know if you've ever, have you had that experience before where God rebuked you of sin?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It was almost, felt like I can take a butter knife out or knife and cut it. It was thick. You couldn't ignore it. It was that thick. And I didn't even know what to do with it. I was, you know, perplexed. I didn't even know how to repent. It was so thick. I've never experienced that before in my life. So God took me to Psalms 52. And he began to explain to me, you know, about the mighty man. You know, people who make themselves strong in their own wisdom. You know, not, you know how it says in 1 Corinthians, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise, you know, are called. And you know how we like to take the word and make ourselves mighty, and take the word and make ourselves wise, and take the word and make ourselves, you know, exalted above others. What the Lord was showing me was, you're like that, you're like this. This is you, Psalms 52. You need to repent from that. You have a very deceitful tongue. You say words, but in your heart, these things are far from me. You understand these, you know, that's what he showed me. It was a strong rebuke, you know. But it wasn't, you know, a bad, there was good also in that psalm. You know, how the Lord says that he will, you know, pull, uproot their, you know, remove them from their tents, you know, and uproot them, you know. And the Lord made me think, you know, if you repent, you know, that lying tongue will be uprooted, that deceitfulness will be uprooted. And that's what we did. We went into repentance. I had to ask God to show me, you know, how to repent from it. I felt helpless in the presence of that sin. If anybody can anybody relate to what I'm saying? I'm trying to express it the best way I can.
Some people experience something different, something a little bit different, but yeah, absolutely.
And so we were sitting there, and after I repented, you know, what I desired from God, you know, is just, you know, to be his friend. I'm never, you know, honestly being God's friend. And I know when I talk, it always sounds like I'm condemning myself. I'm not really condemning myself. You know, we're told to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, God is not my friend. I treat friends better than I treat God. And that's awful, you know. But if you get a chance to look at Psalms 52, you see exactly what I mean. Or if you want to read through it and you get, you know, anything from it. But yeah, the Lord just delivered me from that thick presence, that thick sin. You know, he interceded. He gave me what to pray. He helped me to repent. He helped us to cry out to him. We were, you know, baffled. And he could do nothing but agree. He said it convicted him so that, you know, there was nothing that he could disagree with.
Amen. Well, you know, Willie, during that period of time, did it feel like that the Lord had left your side?
No, it felt like he was literally saying, look at this thick presence of sin. The Holy Spirit, I could tell the presence of the Holy Spirit was there. But at the same time, the Spirit was like, look at this sin. Like, he, you know, made it thick so that I can not only, you know, so that there wouldn't be no, oh, maybe I'm imagining it. I felt it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But yeah, God was present throughout the whole thing. My little tiny, you know, mind, I couldn't even figure out what to do with it. I've never felt like, you know, the presence of sin where you can feel it like that. He really exposed, he can do stuff like that, and I can't put full words to it.
Yeah. Amen. Do you want to read that Psalm 52? I think it'd be a good time to do it, if you got it handy there. I think Matt's got it on the chat there. Yeah, that's Psalm 52 on the chat thing.
All right. I got it. And it's a short psalm, you know, yeah. Only a couple of verses. And so, for the chief musician, I cannot read that name, Michelle of David. This looks like Win Doug or Dueck. I can't read these names. I'll just start where it is.
Amen.
Everything looks like a Doug and Michael to me. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endureth continually. And so, you know, once again, you start realizing you're doing everything by your own works. Boastest thou, O mighty man? You know, the love of God is the only thing that endureth continually that we ought to be, you know, moved in doing anything in. Thy tongue deviseth very wickedness, like a razor working deceit. So we're saying things, you know, but we're not living according to it, you know. You love evil more than good, and lying rather than speaking righteousness. Does your life speak righteousness, you know? Or does does your lifestyle speak righteousness, or is it just, you know, a lying tongue that's saying, oh, how I love Jesus? You love all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. And so when the heart is not true on the inside, you know, you love devouring words more than, you know, you'll love God. God will likewise destroy thee forever. He will take thee up and pluck thee out of thy tent and root thee out of the land of the living. And that's where I also found good at. You know, when you repent, you know, God's going to destroy that tongue. You know, he's going to, he will take it up. He will pluck it out of the tent and root it, you know, out of the land of the living. And the land of the living, you know, is being among God's people. You know. The righteous also shall see it and fear and shall laugh at him. And when God does that for you, you know, you'll look back at that, you know. You'll look at that nature and you'll want nothing to do with it, saying, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. You know, his wisdom, you know, his own understanding of the Bible, you know, stuff like that. We do stuff with the Bible in our own intents, you know, but we're still holding on to sin. It's not renewing us, you know, because we're trying to become mighty. We're trying to become wise. We're trying to become noble in our own strength. It's not renewing. It's not doing anything. So you're trusting in the abundance of your own riches. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. And this is where the Lord was, you know, showing me the good. Repent. You become like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God. You know, commit your way to me. Trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it. You know, notice that God is doing the work. Let God do all of the work in you. Not some of the work, all of the work. You know, and not committing your will to God part-time, but committing your will to God completely, you know. And I will hope in thy name, for it is good in the presence of thy people. And, you know, that's the only way for you to be any good, you know, in the presence of God's people, is to have that full hope in his name being manifested in you. You know, I would hate to become a stumbling block to somebody. I would hate to become someone's sorrow. You know, I would hate to, you know, wound the weak or, you know, because, you know, I'm doing everything, you know, carnally, you know, I'm only using the word of God to profit myself. And I'm, like I said, you guys have to forgive me because I don't always speak things out the way it's in here. I can understand it in here. I have a hard time getting it out of my mouth. But yeah, that's, you know, and so, but the God did a good work, you know.
Amen. Yep, that's a good one. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you show any more of us, Lord, if there's any sin in our hearts, Lord, that you would do the same to all of us, that you would bring it to our attention so we could repent and get back in good grace with you, Lord. Those are awesome ways you do things, Lord. I know that you use different tactics with different people, but, Lord, it all comes to one thing, we hope, and that's repentance and holiness. And we thank you, Lord, for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Willie. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a slight testimony or a small testimony. Yesterday was the eclipse, and we are just about on the center line of the eclipse. So we had a massive amount of people come in. I know that Matt mentioned that all the traffic going opposite of him was really heavy, and it really was. So I was out in the morning, and I saw that traffic, and I had planned to I have a thing where I go on the corner, and I set up a cross, and I try and minister to people and pass out Sovereign God books, David's Sovereign God books, and I pass them out to people in traffic, you know, in the cars and so forth. So I was going to do that from 3 to 5, but I saw all that traffic, and I said, man, I'm missing this. So I went at noon, and I went down on the corner where I normally go, and I set up my cross and so forth, and it's right next to Walmart, and I usually park my truck at Walmart in their parking lot, but there was absolutely no room in Walmart. All of the eclipse gazers were there, and they had it jam-packed. So I couldn't do anything with my truck, so I just left it on the median where I was at. And so the first hour from 12 to 1, I passed out about two cartons of books, which is very good because it usually takes me about 3 hours to pass that many out. But so at 1 o'clock, I had passed out a couple of boxes, a couple of cartons, and then it got the traffic kind of deadened down because it was time for the eclipse to start. So I fooled around a little bit and went and got a Coke at a local gas station real close by and so forth. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden at about 2 o'clock, the state police pull up and they say, what are you doing? How come your truck's here? And I said, well, I usually park across the street, but you can see there's no room over there. So they said, well, you can't be here. So they kicked me off the corner. And so I had to leave early. So anyway, I left, and I went and watched the eclipse somewhere else. But I did get to pass out a couple of boxes of books, and I had people come across from Walmart, the people that were watching the eclipse. They come over and got some books, and people that were walking, I one kid in particular, I hollered at him, hey, you want a free book? And he came and got one, and we chatted for a while. Now, this is the odd part of the story, because two county police officers came by, and I gave them each a book. They were in one car, two of them in one car, and I was able to give them both a book, but these state troopers came and kicked me off the corner. So, but it was a good day, anyway. All right, thanks, that's all.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? I think Judy's fixing to do something here. She looks just like Barbara Walters, doesn't she, now? Go ahead. Go ahead, Judy. Can't hear you, hon. Turn the mic on. Can't hear you. Okay. All right. All right. Anyone got something they'd like to share while Judy's trying to figure out her microphone?
Is there a way to unmute her microphone?
Well, she's not. Oh, wait a minute. She is muted. Now try it, Judy. No. No. Can't hear you. Okay. There's a settings thing that you have to go in there, and you have to get it fixed. Up there she goes again. She got another one. Maybe this one will work. Can't hear you. No. Nothing. Sorry. Do you have a button on there that turns the microphone on the headset itself? No? Okay. Sorry. Can you do hand signals?
Hey, Judy, reverse the two wires.
No.
You got two wires, turn them, put them in the opposite.
May just be a USB connection. Most of these newer ones have the USB.
She was on and spoke earlier, and we heard her.
Oh, she did? I didn't hear.
She first got on, she spoke, and I heard her, yes.
I didn't hear. Okay. Okay, while she's trying to figure that out, I'll go ahead and tell you a little story, what's happened here. I got a phone call from Blake, not a phone call, but a text, and that he wanted me to come pick him up and bring him out here. And he's been, he was sent to rehab, as y'all know, and he stayed there 2 days and got kicked out for an altercation. And so, you know, and his nephew or his cousin went over there and picked him up. He's a banker up there, and picked him up, brought him up to my house, and he just was really just when I heard that, he had acted up before with Jeanette, my wife, and I told his cousin, I said, no, you don't need to bring him by the house. You need to take him somewhere else because he can't stay there while I'm not there. And he said, okay. So he took him to Little Rock, and that's the worst place in the world to take him because that's where he gets all of his stuff, you know, gets in trouble. Anyway, he took him up there, and before I went to bed, and this was late, this was probably 12 o'clock or so, I sent him a verse of scripture, you know, and told him, I said, if you're in trouble, son, just call out to God. He'll answer you. And then about 3 o'clock, I get a text from him. I didn't see it until the next morning, of course, but I got a text from him. He said, can I come out there? And I thought about it, and I kind of prayed about it. And I said, well, sure. Ain't no reason why you can't, because it'd be a good atmosphere for him. It'd take him away from all of his old friends and all of the temptations that he has in that respect. And so we went to praying for him. We got everybody here to pray, and we prayed for him. And so I took off for Arkansas. When was that? That was, what's today? I don't even know what today is. Today is Tuesday. That was yesterday. Yesterday. I took off for Arkansas yesterday. And I'm telling you the truth. You talk about that solar eclipse traffic on I-40 from about Oak Ridge to Memphis was bumper to bumper about 20 miles an hour, which generally takes me about 8 hours to drive the length of Tennessee. It took 11 hours to get home. And anyway, on the way home, I get a call. This is late at night. On the way home, I had a flat, too, on that truck. And I couldn't figure out if, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I think, maybe I missed God on this one. Maybe I don't need to go get him, you know. But I told him that I was coming to get him. So I went ahead and fixed the flat, got back in the truck, took off again. And it was right at dusk, too, and it was dark by the time I got that that tire on there and took off again. And I was about 4 hours away from home. And he called me. He said, look, I'm stranded over here in Little Rock. He said, can you come get me? I said, well, no, I'm 250 miles away from you. And I said, just go. You got there. I said, get back to the house best way you can. I said, you got there the best way you can. Get back to the house best way you can. And so he said, okay. So later on that night, I get a call from Blake. He said, Papa, he said, you won't believe what happened. I said, well, probably not. Which was it? What was it? He said, well, he said, I was walking, and he was over in the bad part of town. He said, I was walking, and I saw this church. He said, I walked into that church, and I couldn't see anything. I guess I was just looking for something, you know, something. I don't know what. He said, I was just drawn to it, and I got in there, and somebody saw me, and I turned around to walk back out. And they said, hold it. He said, come on in here. He said, well, you hungry, you know, and all that. He went in there and he said, no. He said, I guess I need somebody to pray for me. So they prayed for him. And he related it to me this way. He said, I passed out, I guess, Papa. I don't know of any other way to know it. And then, but when I came to, he said, I was free. All of that, I was free. He said, I didn't have any pain anymore. I didn't have any want to anymore. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, it sounds like you're in a... I said, what's the name of the church? And he told me it was Assembly of God Church. So they had some spirit-filled people in there praying for him. And so I said, so now what you going to do? He said, well, can you come get me? I said, I can't. I'm 250 miles away. I said, you need to just try to find somebody to take you out there. So anyway, a little bit later, this guy calls me. He said, and told me what his name was. And he said, I've got Blake here. It's a young man, but not much older than Blake. And he said, what time do you think you'll be back in your town, Lone Oak? I said, well, it's going to be about 2.5 hours, you know. I was on the other side of Memphis at that time. I said, it's going to be about 2 hours, 2 to 2.5 hours, depending on the traffic. I said, it's going to be about 11 o'clock. He said, okay. He said, do you want to come get him? I said, well, if you could, bring him down to the exit down there. And I said, I'll meet you when I get in there. I said, because I am bone tired, man. I've been on this road for 11 hours, or will be on that road for 11 hours. So he said, okay. I said, by the way, I said, tell me what happened when you prayed for him. He said, I was going to just barely mention it. He said, but since you ask, I'm going to tell you. I said, go for it, brother. He said, when we started praying for Blake, he said, I could see that his knees were about to buckle. I said, really? He said, yeah, we had to move the chairs out of the way. He said, he fell flat on his back, and his eyes rolled back in the back of his head, and he said, there was something left him. I said, well, that was a spirit that left him. That was a demon spirit that left him. I said, I hope it was more than one, because he was full of them. He said, well, I don't know. He said, but I do know that he got some deliverance. I said, well, praise God. I said, praise God. And so anyway, when I finally got to where they were at the filling station and I met them, it's a nice young man and his wife, and they related the story again, and it was, I'm telling you, Blake is, last night, he told me, coming in, he said, Papa, I don't have any desire for dope or alcohol or any of that stuff. I said, well, praise God, Blake. And last night, he slept better than he has in months. He slept till 10 o'clock this morning, I guess. And he got up. I said, how you feeling? He said, I feel good. He said, but he was something else going on there. But anyway, a little bit later, I said, how you feeling now? He said, well, I'm feeling good. He said, I don't have any desire. So he said, he wanted me to bring him over here without telling his parole officer. And I called a sheriff and I said, Sheriff, I said, what happens if a man takes a guy on parole out of state? He said, well, it's not a good thing for you, that's for sure. He said, they could put you in jail too, you know? And so I said, okay. So I found that out. And so I told Blake, I said, we're going to have to call your parole officer and tell him. He said, oh, Papa, if we do that, you know, I won't be able to go. I just hollered, you know, it just went crazy. And I said, hold on. I said, when we pray, and you said God told you to come to Tennessee, I said, don't you think he can open up the doors to and give you a way to come to Tennessee? He said, well, I guess so. I said, then what are you worried about? Let's pray again. And so we prayed. And I said, God's going to show you something today about his miracle-working power. He said, oh, praise God. Let's go for it. And so we went over. He said, he picked up the phone and he called over there. And he said, I want to go to Tennessee with my papa. He said, and I want to stay over there for a little while with him. And the guy told him, so just come on in and fill out the paperwork, and I'll take it back there and let the supervisor sign it. And he was amazed. His jaw dropped down to his belly. And I said, see there? That's what prayer does, son. I said, this God's walk. We call it those things that are not as though they were. And that was a good opportunity for a teaching lesson about faith. And so we got over there. And y'all know how it is in them places. You got to sit around and wait. He's sitting there sweating, walking around and doing this and that and the other. We made it up. We went ahead and filled out the paperwork. And his parole officer was not there, and he was gone or something. Anyway, this lady had to take care of it. And he came back out and he said, well, they're only going to let me stay maybe 45 days. I said, okay, well, we prayed that God would let you stay out there with us, you know. I said, so that's better than nothing at all, isn't it? He said, yeah, okay. So, and then he had to go back in there and talk with her again. And he came back out and he said, they're only going to allow me 30 days. And so I got to be back here by the 30th day. I said, well, that's okay, son. That's going to give you enough time to be over there with us, and you'll learn a lot while you're there, those 30 days. And he said, okay. So it was amazing to watch how God orchestrated everything. He orchestrated that delay time on me on the interstate using this eclipse thing to keep for 4 hours more. Let's see, 8, 9, 10, 11, 3 hours more than normally it takes me to get here in order that Blake could get some deliverance over there at the Assembly of God Church with that young couple and another young couple that prayed for him. So he used that, and then he brought him back, and he used opening the door for him to come to Tennessee. They don't let parolees go from state to state, generally speaking, okay? But God, we prayed the prayer of faith that God would show favor to him, and he brought him in, and he was just amazed that had transpired. And he was all, he said, oh, Papa, he said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I said, I tell you what, let's do. Let's take it one day at a time and let's get you clean. Let's let the Lord clean you up a little bit. And then you can decide, you and the Lord himself will decide what you want to do, right? He said, yeah. See, the Lord, before I went to Arkansas, had, Blake had died. He says he thought he died. Anyway, the Lord had snatched him out of his body and taken him to hell. And took him to hell, and then he took him up to the gates of heaven. And while he was up at the gates of heaven, the Lord would not let him go in, or an angel wouldn't let him go in yet. And the Lord told him, he said, Blake asked him, he said, Lord, what you want me to do? He said, I want you to go spread the word. That's something the Lord told me 18 years ago that he was going to do with Blake. He said he was going to make a preacher out of him. And he was going to preach to a lot of folks, bring many people into the kingdom. He told me that when the boy wasn't but 5 or 6 years old. So he said, what do you make of that? I said, that's a confirmation of what he told me, what I've been telling you all your life. I said, it's a confirmation. So now, do you believe that? He said, I believe it now. He said, I didn't believe it before when you kept telling me that all in many years. I said, well, it's time now that you do it, right? He said, I reckon it is. So he's going to be coming out here, and I'll be bringing him probably Saturday. And I just believe, and I ask that y'all keep him in your prayers. He's new to this. When he was little, I tell you what, he was so bold in the Lord. When I'd go out on the streets as a 6, 7, 8 year old, I'd take him out on the streets with me, him and his brother Bo, and they'd hand out tracts and talk to the people about Jesus. So bold for a young boy like that to do that. And I've got a picture, and I have to find it, but I've got a picture of him giving a tract, looking way up at a guy about 6'5", 6'6", or so, weighed about 325 pounds, tatted up, you know, and looking rough, giving him a tract and telling him, God bless you. God bless you, you know. And it was an awesome, he wasn't, but gosh, he couldn't have been more 6 or 7 when he did that. So that's why David, if you listen to the broadcast last night, remember Eve's dream when she said the Lord told her to fast and pray for her family and he's going to bring them in. I'm seeing it happen. His twin brother is down in a rehab down in Arkadelphia, Arkansas right now in a Christian rehab, getting cleaned up too. So we're seeing God work mighty miracles now. This is the time for it. This is the time for it. Praise God. Well, Lord, I just lift up all of our children, all of the loved ones that we've been praying for so many years, Lord. And I thank you so much, Father, for bringing them in, for bringing them into the kingdom, Father, in a mighty, mighty way. Father, you're so gracious. You love us so much, Lord, that your grace and your mercy extends so far out there. We can't even comprehend it, Lord. And I just praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, if he comes in here tonight, I'll try to get this camera going and let him talk to you for a minute. Y'all will like him. He's very charismatic. He'll con you in a heartbeat if you ain't careful. All right. Anybody else? He won't anymore. Not anymore. I'll take that back. He won't anymore. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Well, Michael?
Yes, Missy?
I don't have anything to share, but I would like to ask for prayer. The enemy is just still attacking me over this healing thing, and I keep rebuking him. And I'm telling you, since you prayed for me, he's attacked me more.
Well, thanks, Missy.
I'm not saying it's your fault. Don't take it that way.
I don't.
Anyway.
Well, let's pray.
Just lying spirit.
Okay. Well, Lord, we know what your word says, and we believe what your word says. You said in your word that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that we shall have it. It's going to happen. You said when we holler at that mountain to move over into the sea over there, that it's going to do that, Lord. We've already done that. Now, Lord, I just thank you right now.
Amen.
That Missy is healed, delivered, and set free from these headaches and from that other thing that the devil's trying to put on his spinal, I can't even pronounce it. Anyway, Lord, we just thank you that her whole body is healed. Her back is healed. Her head is healed. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We command and we declare that the enemy stop these attacks on her right now in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, we cast down any kind of witchcraft curses that are spoken against her in the name of Jesus as null and void. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that if these curses are coming from up there, Lord, we ask that you send those curses back where they came from. And Lord, that there would be a great amount of confusion, pain, and hurt on them, that they would know that it is you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Missy is healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. You believe that, Missy?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I just kind of felt a release. I don't know. I mean, I feel a lot better already.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am healed.
Amen.
It's mine, and the enemy's not taking it.
Amen.
Take back what he stole from me.
Yeah. Blake and I were talking. We had to go over to his parole officer, which was about an hour and a half away from where I live. And we went over, and while we went over there, or going back home, I was asking him, I said, do you still have some of that dope to get off of dope? I didn't know what they call it. It's some kind of dope that they give them to come off of dope, because if people like him came off of dope all by themselves without any relief, according to the doctors, that it could kill them, because it'd be such a stress on their heart. And I said, do you still have some? He said, yeah. I said, do you need it? He said, I don't need it. He said, I don't have a desire in my heart for any of that. Now, this is a guy that just a couple of days before, they had found 7 different kinds of drugs in his body. 7 different kinds. Heroin, cocaine, meth, and others. I don't even know what it is. So God delivered him from all of that. Praise God. And he's doing the same thing to you, Missy.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Praise
I tell you,
Lord.
He's a delight to be around now. Before, he was a holy terror.
Stinker, huh?
Oh, my. No, stinker ain't the word, man. He was knee-deep in it. He was up to his neck in it. I'm telling you, that boy was foul. He was evil. That's what Jeanette said. He was evil. Said the demons were taking him over. But you know, we prayed. We prayed back in Tennessee. And Jeanette and I prayed, and we agreed. And look what happened. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That is so awesome.
Amen. Amen. Okay, you're healed.
Amen. I am.
All right. Anybody else got a testimony or something they'd like to share? Amen. Well, I'm still pumped
Hello?
Up. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't know whether someone else was speaking also. I wasn't sure. Did someone else also want to come on? Or?
No, just you, Gaino. Go ahead.
Okay. That was an awesome testimony.
Oh, man, you ought to live it with me. I'm telling you, I'm up on cloud nine right now because I've been praying for that boy for a long time.
Yeah, I bet you are. Well, I just really thank the Lord for that. That is awesome. Greg called us, let's see, was it yesterday? Must have been yesterday. Or no, the day before. Anyway, he said that our one daughter that we have been praying for, she and her family were in Idaho, and they were wanting to view the eclipse, but where they were, there was so much smoke they couldn't. You know, they wouldn't be able to see anything, and she didn't know what to do. And Greg says, well, I'll just pray, and we'll just, you know, believe that the Lord's going to clear that sky out, and you'll be able to see it. And we were so surprised at her remarks. She says, well, I'll go with that. I'll just believe for divine intervention. And we thought that was really quite a comment coming from her. And so she did. And they stayed in that close to that vicinity, but they hiked up on a mountain and they had a beautiful view, and she thought it was just awesome. So anyway, I just thank the Lord for, you know, clearing that sky for her and her family so they could view the eclipse.
Amen. Praise
and,
God.
Anyway, it was kind of cool just to, you know, to hear him tell us that. And he maybe shared that in Tennessee. I don't know. But it really blessed us that she says, oh, I'll just believe for divine intervention here. Because
Amen.
They had a lot of wildfires that were close in that area where they were. She said it was just terribly smoky. And I had something else that I wanted to share. This noon, I just kind of laid down for just, oh gosh, it was over the noon hour, just for a few minutes. And I don't think that I was sleeping, but maybe I was, I don't know. But I just saw one scene, and I just saw a really big black horse. And the first thing I was thinking of war, but in Revelation, the horse that's for war is red. But this horse I saw was a really huge black horse, as though it had been running because it was all wet and sweaty, and just looked very anxious. And I asked for a verse for that, but I got a verse from Job. And so when I was just asking the Lord about it, what I guess I should start there, I felt that he was saying war within, and I was thinking war within, like the U.S. is what I was thinking, because of all the faction going between one side and the other side and all the things that it has brought about in the last few days. But when I asked for a scripture, then I got Job, and it was, you know, that time when Satan was sifting Job and he took everything from him. But it was that part, you know, where it took their food. And when you go back to the black horse, that's what it did. You know, that was, you know, for famine. And so maybe that it did fit after all, because I was thinking perhaps it didn't. But anyway, that's all I saw. You know, it was just that one scene. But I just thought it really was a sign of the time that we're in, and you know, we're in a time when things quite possibly could go very quickly. And anyway, that was what I saw. So I just wanted to share that. It was just a quick scene, and you know, I don't know whether it was a dream or a vision, because I just gosh sakes, I just laid down for just a few minutes, and that's what I saw when I was getting up. So anyway, just wanted to share that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Praise God, yeah. So the black horse is the horse of famine?
I think so. I think when I looked it up, the red horse is for war, but the black horse was for, I think, famine. The black horse was famine, and the pale horse was death, because I was trying to get those horses straight. And then I also had looked up, in another little Bible dictionary I have, and it mentioned, a scripture in Jeremiah where, you know, horses were used for, to show the strength of, you know, the oppressing nation, whatever. And some of those scriptures were in Jeremiah 46 and 47 had some. And it was just, you know, the people that were coming against God's people. And that could possibly also pertain to it. But I was just, anyway, that's what I saw.
Okay. So,
just
want
to share that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. So, wait a minute now, before you go, what do you think he's telling us there? That the horse, the famine's coming, or?
Well, you know, I was kind of wondering about that, because at first my first thought was just the dissension with all the faction between all the different groups in the United States. And but, you know, I could see that could cause famine because it, you know, like, I guess my thought was, okay, what came to my mind was martial law and the grocery stores being emptied out in a hurry. And, you know, so if you think of it in that light, it could mean famine. I don't know.
Well, yeah. There's definitely a famine of love in this country, I'll tell you.
Yes.
A lot of hate.
For sure. Yep. And a famine of the love of the Lord, too, for fellow man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it just really is a hard time. But anyway, it was just something I saw very quickly this noon, so I thought I would share that.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead, Kurt. Let me unmute you, buddy. All right, Kurt, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I talked with my youngest daughter just before I got on the conference call, and she was actually at the doctor's office for a mammogram because they found a lump and on her breast, and so anyway, she was waiting in the room in her little gown that has the back out of it. And she said it was cold and she'd been sitting there for quite a while already. But anyway, she told me that, I told her that I would pray for her concerning that. Plus, her husband has kidney stones and they're real big stones, and so he can't pass them. So they're going to do surgery on his back and go through his back and get those stones out of both kidneys. And she wanted prayer for that. And I'll say one other thing. I told her about the smoking the cigarettes and the marijuana and whatever. And I asked her, I said, would you like for me to pray for you that God would just take the desire away from you? And she sort of hesitated. I said, well, you know, stop and think about it. You know, I've already told you these are demons. You know, that's why no matter what situation you've gone through trying to quit, that's why you still want it and you haven't been able to stop. So anyway, she allowed me to pray for her concerning that. And maybe we can pray for her about the mammogram, because I hung up. She was still in the office or the room, and so I don't know. They might not have told her at that point what they found or whatever. But I'd also like to pray for her husband for the removal of those stones. kidney stones.
Okay, if you pray, we'll believe with you, brother.
Well, Father, I just lift Connie up to you. She's really, I can tell that you're drawing her closer to your son because she really enjoys our conversations, and that didn't used to be the situation. But here lately, she's called me and asked for prayer, and, she enjoys talking about the Bible, and, Lord, I just praise you for that, and I thank you that you're going to take these cigarettes and the marijuana away from her, because I believe we cast those demons out, and I thank you, Lord, you can remove these kidney stones from Richard, her husband, so that he doesn't even have to go through this surgery. So, Lord, I just ask you to do that for him. Both of them claim to be Christians. I've heard the word nominal a lot, so I assume that's where they're at. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing this miracle on both of them, that they're not going to find anything in Connie's breast, and that you're going to do a miracle, Lord, and remove those kidney stones, and they'll both know that this is an answer to prayer. And it was your hand that did this, Lord, and not man. And I just praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for complete victory for both of them in Jesus' name. And let this be a catalyst, Lord, to get them deeper in the Word, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Amen. Michael.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. You know, something else. Go ahead, buddy.
I was just going to say, if he can do what he did for Blake, then he can certainly do this. No problem.
Oh, well, there's another caveat to that. This afternoon, while we're at the parole officer's place, he bummed a cigarette off somebody there and went out there and smoked about half of it. He come back in. He said, that thing tasted awful. He said, I don't want to smoke no more. I said, well, praise God. Praise God. Yeah, he took away the desire, all addictions off of him, I believe, and I just believe that. Praise God. Yeah, I tell you, I hope he comes in here before we get through tonight, so he can. He's at a meeting tonight with people that have friends of his that have come off of drugs, and they meet somewhere up there, and he just wanted to go up there and give his testimony. I said, go for it, brother. So I'm dancing on cloud nine right now, on the Lord's cloud up there, and just praising God. You know, sometimes when you've gone through some of the heartache that you go through, when you go through people that have family members that have done that, gotten into drugs and really, really heavy stuff. I'm talking about a heavy. And this happens. It's just such a relief. It's such a relief that God gives you in your heart, because you don't know if they're going to end up with somebody with a bullet in their head somewhere, because they're dealing with nefarious people, evil people too, you know. Of course, they're just as evil. But God, the only difference in the ones that we're praying for and those men and women out there that are dealing that stuff is that we're praying for them. That's the only difference right there. And God will protect them through all of that stuff. And then he'll bring them to the point to where he'll slap them down. Praise God. Slap them down and snatch them out of their body and take them to hell. And then give them a little taste of heaven. And I tell you, it's just wonderful the way God does what he does for all of us. Amen. Go ahead, Willie, if you want. Are you just praying? Okay, well, praise God. Yeah, me too. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Lord, you're such a wonderful Father. it just boggles my mind, Lord, the way that you love us and the way we treat you, Lord, in return a lot of times is just, I don't know. And then you still love us, Lord. Like myself, you know. Here I went running from you for 50 years before I ever, and he's only 24. Lord, you've kind of cut it in half there almost. And brought him in at a young age, and that is awesome, Father. Of course, I know we don't have a whole lot of time there. Lord told me he's going to grow him up fast, too. He's going to grow all of the ones that we've been praying for up fast, mature them fast. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right, let's see. Can y'all hear that chair squeaking? Y'all can't hear that chair squeaking, can you? Okay, sorry about that.
Is that the one you used to oil, Michael?
No, this is actually another one. This is one at the house here, but it needs the oiling too. I need to pour a gallon of burnt oil over it.
There was one you'd sit in. We could hear it squeak all the time.
Yeah, that was in Tennessee. Yeah. I think it's downstairs. Kevin's got it now.
If we would have heard that, we would have been at home, so, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? We're in our Bible studies that I hate to miss tomorrow, but I'm going to have to because I'm here. We're in Jesus Will Shepherd His Flock. That's the new book that David that they have compiled and put on the website now. Jesus Will Shepherd His Flock. And there's some things in there that's awesome in that last chapter that we went through, in the chapter that says, they shall dwell securely. And it talks about how God is going to protect His bride. And let's see if I can find it here. And I want to kind of relate some of them, some of the things that David was talking about in there. Let's see. I'm going to start in Jeremiah 31 and 2. It says, thus saith the Lord, the people that were left of the sword found favor in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. And David said, there's the shepherd feeding his flock in the wilderness. You know, y'all know what the wilderness is. That's the tribulation. And we can see something similar back in Jeremiah 23 in verse 1. It says, woe unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Well, how do they scatter God's flock? Y'all know it's denominationalism. We got all, Matt looked it up one day. Matt, are you still in here? Where'd he go? He looked it up the other day. He said in 1906, I believe it was, he said there was something like 12 to 1500 denominations, different denominations in Protestantism. And then he said in another time frame, maybe 1940, 1950, somewhere along in there, it gotten up to 3,000, 4,000, maybe 4,000 denomination. And today, Leon, you remember what the figure was for today? 2012, when it
almost 40,000.
I was fixing to say, I thought it was 40,000 denominations. Now, is that not separation from God's people? That's separation. That's thus scattering God's flock. In verse 1 of Jeremiah 23, it says, "Woe unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." Well, how do they do that? They do it through denominationalism. The First Baptist Church splits, and they have the Missionary Baptist Church, and the Missionary Baptist Church splits, and it's got the Trinity Baptist Church, and so on, and then that one splits, and then you got the Burning Bush Baptist Church, you know, and on and on and on and on, until they're God's people. You got a church on every corner, and none of them's teaching the whole truth. I got the truth, bless God. You know, y'all come on over here and bring your money. That's mostly what they want. John 17:11 says this, "And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are." Verse 20, "Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word." That believe on me through their word, that they may all be one. That's one. It don't mean 19, don't mean 40,000 other ones. That they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Well, y'all know what happened. Them wolves came in there and they separated and scattered all of them. Now, they call themselves pastors, but y'all know as well as I do, they're only up there for one thing, or two things. One is recognition, or the other one is money. Jeremiah 23:1 again, "Woe unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." Now, that ain't happened yet, has it? But when Jesus came, what did he do? He came to draw a flock out of all the denominations of apostate Judaism. And he called those disciples the church. And that word church is ecclesia, and that means called out ones. That's the called out ones. And y'all know from listening to David's teachings and the Word of God, and reading the Word of God, he's about to do that again. He's going to call one flock, and he ain't going to have but one shepherd for him, and that's Jesus. And that's the one he called Jesus. He's going to call that flock out of apostate Christianity, all of those different denominations, and they're going to have one God at that time. They're going to be fruitful, and they're going to multiply. That's the promise that God's given us. Verse 4 says, "And I will set up shepherds," that's plural, "over them." So we know that it's a corporate body now, "who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking." Did you hear that? "Neither shall any be lacking, saith the Lord." The elect are all going to be there. Not all the called, but all the elect's going to be there. That's the chosen people of God. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few chosen." All of the chosen is going to be there. And this is talking about a latter-day event, not something that happened back before Jesus' day. So we need to believe that the man child is coming full of Jesus to do this work that God has ordained him to do. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. He said in verse 4, he's going to set up the shepherds, plural. And now he's telling you who the branch is. And most people thought that the branch was only Jesus. But that branch is the latter-day body of David, those shepherds that Jesus lives in, fully matured. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and deal wisely, and shall execute judgment, justice, and righteousness in the land. Verse 6, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And it's our, because we're talking about a corporate body of people, our righteousness. And the branch is a corporate body of David's, or the shepherds. And it also talks about rebuking those wicked and evil shepherds and those lying false prophets. And in Jeremiah 23:20, it says this, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. Now, in the latter days ye shall understand it. Well, there it is again, perfectly. I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesy. And that's true. How many of you know that they've been doing that? There's a lot of people who have been ordained by religion, but not of God. Verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words and had turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. And so we see this is another latter-day prophecy of David being raised up and of Christ living in that David and going forth. Amen. And it, over in Ezekiel 34, in verse 24, it says, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Where's the land, Lord? That's us. We're that land. And the enemies are represented that are represented by the Canaanites got to be driven from the land so that the spiritual man represented by the Israelites can dwell in his house and raise a crop and bear that fruit, right? Our enemies got to be driven out so that that spiritual man can bear fruit unto God. Hebrews 6:7, for the land which hath drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them, for whose sake it is also tilled, able for them, receiveth blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistle, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse whose end is to be burned. Well, there goes once saved, always saved, right out the window. The Lord's not talking about ground, folks. He's talking about people. And he said of Israel in Malachi 3:12, and all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord goes on to say that he's going to cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Ezekiel 34:25, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. They're going to dwell securely in the wilderness. In the New Testament, of course, y'all know that wilderness means tribulation. Revelation 12 and 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Well, that's 3.5 years, y'all know. So the Lord says that he, in an end time David, is going to shepherd his flock, and that they're going to dwell securely in the wilderness. Ezekiel 24 and 26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in its season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Well, praise God. That's the rain of the Holy Spirit that's going to fall down on us. That's the rain of the knowledge of God that's going to come down. 27, and the tree of the field, that's us, shall yield its fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. That's talking about God's folks right there. And they shall be secure in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. Well, praise God. The beast and the harlot have God's people in bondage today. And the harlot in Jesus' day was the apostate Judaism. And the beast, of course, was a Roman government. Together, they were against the man-child Jesus. The Roman government was propping up the apostate harlot in order to keep God's people in bondage. And what's happening today? Same thing. Only it's doing it on a much larger scale. The beast and the harlot are going to oppose the same entity. They're going to oppose Christ in a body of the first fruits. But God says he's going to deliver his sheep out of their hand, out of their body. You know why they're going to oppose him? The reason why they're going to oppose him, because they're dipping into their money. And their titles and all of that stuff that they accumulate themselves in, you know. They like that notoriety. They like that walking around being somebody, you know. God's going to, he's going to take care of it. Okay, let's see. In Ezekiel 34:28, and they shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them. Now, Daniel said that the beasts are different kingdoms of the world. And, of course, individual lost man is a beast, just like Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 3:18. I said in my heart, it is because of the sons of men that God may prove them, and that they may see that they themselves are but as beasts. So we know that the beasts represent God's people in bondage to men, whether it be a man of religion or a man of the world. It don't make a bit of difference. We hadn't been called to be in bondage, and he's calling us out of them. Ezekiel 34:28, and they shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them, but they shall dwell securely. There it is again. And none shall make them afraid. And ye, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. The Lord is going to shepherd his sheep, and the flesh ain't going to get a bit of credit for it. If he comes in a body of David, Does David get the credit, or does the credit go to the one who lives inside? Well, the credit goes to the Son of God dwelling in the Son of Man, and it goes to the Lord, right? We ain't going to take nothing away from the Lord. He said he's going to get all the glory in the days ahead. It ain't going to be no, it's not going to be a Benny Hinn ministry. It's going to be Jesus Christ. That's what it's going to be. That credit's going to go to the Son of God dwelling in that Son of Man. And it's going to go all to the Lord. We're not taking anything away from the Lord. And this, you know, it's God's plan to use man throughout the days ahead. He's going to use, it's going to be so awesome, y'all. We've already seen so many miracles and things happen just here recently that it's amazing to me to watch. You wait. Just in the next few days, we're going to see some other stuff happening because God's people are praying and they're sacrificing to get things done for the kingdom. You're fixing to see it. You're fixing to see the things that you've been praying for are going to be answered quickly. Now, I can see it right now. God's doing a quick work in his people. He's doing a quick work in them. I'm getting all excited, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting all excited because it's going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly, and God's going to use people. Now, in the natural, if you looked at them, they'd look like, man, ain't no way that guy's going to be a preacher. Ain't no way. And then all of a sudden, that man will be preaching Christ crucified to people, and they're going to come running to the altar. You know why? Because the anointing of God's going to be on them. That anointing is going to bring them in. And the prayers of the saints that are fasting and praying and crying out to God for revival, crying out to God for these family members, crying out to God for these friends that we've been praying for, they're coming in shortly. I believe it. I believe this is just a type and a shadow of what's fixing to happen worldwide. Praise God. Okay, I'm gonna step off here and let somebody else talk. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add to about what's happened, what's fixing to happen in these end time days with God's people? That latter rain's going to be something else. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see this man child. This guy's going to have some, he's going to have some stuff with him. He's going to have the Lord with him. And Judy, this man is going to come up. He's going to, you know, he'll just speak the word. People will be healed all over. All over. Yeah. People will be saved. He'll open his mouth and people, he'll just tell them, say, go and sin no more. And they'll be healed, delivered, set free, and going home preaching the gospel. Just like Jesus did. Only what happened? What did Jesus say? Jesus said this. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. Woo, because he's going to the Father. And when he goes to the Father's love works through him, and he intercedes for us. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right, somebody else talk. I'm getting all excited here. Praise God. Charlie, what do you think, brother? Put you on the spot, didn't I? Where's the mute button, Linda? Amen. All right, somebody else say something. Talk about what we're talking about here. This great end time happening, fixing to happen. I believe. I don't know what's going to happen on the 23rd. I don't know what's going to happen even right after that. All I know is it's going to happen soon. I don't know if it's going to be the 23rd. I don't know if it's going to be the 21st. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, but I do know it's coming quick. That I do know. You know, we've been here, that, well, it's going to be here at this certain time. It's going to be here at that certain time. I've learned to just put it on the shelf and wait on God, because I know in my spirit, I know God's fixing to do something real quick. Okay, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just going to say that our 40-day fast is not going to be over until September 30th, so we'll have to at least wait till then, you know, before something happens. So.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. God ain't got to wait on no fast.
Well, that's true.
I'm just saying. I'm not trying to come against you.
He doesn't have to wait. He can be doing something anyway. But that's that. Eve was told to go on a 40-day fast, and she's the bride, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. Oh, what did he say though? He said, "Go on to so that your the members in the fellowship
family."
Yeah, family well, and
your family. You got to pray for your family and the brethren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. David.
Sometimes I come on, before I come online, I let the Lord give me some word just so I can see where he's at. He gave me John 10:15. I'll probably back up, but I'll read 10:15 first, and I'll back up to John 10:1 and go up to this. And it says, John 10:15 says, "Even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, I lay my down my life for the sheep." But if we want to get the full gist of what he's saying here, let's go back to 10:1. It's the title is, "I am the good shepherd. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, but into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth in some other way, same as a thief and a robber," which I think we've been talking about here, about the false shepherds. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he had put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know not, they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spoke unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Jesus then therefore said again to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that me may steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life, and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, beholdeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them, and scattereth them. He fleeth because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. Again, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and mine own know me. Even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. Therefore does the Father love me, because I lay down my life, and I will take it up again. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father." So I think the Lord kind of knew where we were going to go tonight, and he wanted to confirm it. He's the good shepherd. He's going to be bringing us into one flock. And we'll see the hirelings depart. They're going to run when the wolf comes. And his sheep will be hearing his voice.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. God promises to deliver his people from the bondage of men, but how's that going to be possible? How can God's elect not the many called, but the chosen, dwell securely when the whole world is rising up against them. Look at Matthew 24:9. Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. He told them they're going to be hated of all nations. So how could they dwell securely? Well, it's probably because God is their shepherd, Isaiah 40:11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. There's his arm again. And carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. Well, what about the threat of the beastly nations against God's people? Well, let's look and see what verse 12 says. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heavens with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? You see, the magnificence, the power, the sovereignty of Almighty God is how he's going to do this. He's talking about his greatness. He's going to shepherd his sheep and preserve them through the time of the tribulation. Isaiah 40:13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a bucket, or as a drop of a bucket. So how come we're worried about the threat of the nations? God's saying, I'm the one who designed all this. And to him, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, he said. They ain't nothing. And are accounted as the small dust of the balance. So if you're comparing the nations with God, they're dust. Do they have authority here, or does God reign over them? Is our sovereign God in control to raise up this crop, or are the beast nations in control? No, the beast nations not in control. God is sovereign. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are accounted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And the Hebrew word there, translated isles, also means coastlands or regions. In other words, sometimes this word is talking about continents and not just little islands. Verse 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and vanity. So how come we got to fear? Folks, our omnipotent, all-powerful God is in control, and he's telling you not to worry about the nations because they're nothing. He said, I'm going to shepherd my sheep. I'm going to take care of them. I'll carry them in my arm. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of all lords, and every principality and power is under his feet. Ephesians 1:19. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body. So if we're the body, even the feet have power over all the enemy. Going on, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, he's given to be the head of the body. And he put every principality, every ruler under the feet of the body. He's given us all dominion over them, and all we have to do is to take him seriously and trust him. God is not the slightest bit worried about the nations that are coming against his people. Isaiah 40 and 22, it is he that sitteth above the circle of the earth. Well, there goes flat earth out the window. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. And that bringeth princes to nothing. That maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they have not been planted. Yea, they have not been sown. Yea, their stock hath not taken root in the earth. Moreover, he bloweth upon them, and they wither. And the whirlwind taketh them away as stubble. And so, as you can see, God ain't worried about what the nations can do to the flock. You know, I believe God showed this to me, or placed it in my heart to believe this. Many years ago, I just blurted it out one time. I said, you know, we could be standing right under a nuclear bomb. It could go right off right next to us. And if God's not through with our ministry yet, we'll just brush the dust off and keep on preaching the word. I believe that with all my heart. I think God's got a way of taking care of his people when the time comes that we don't have to worry about it. But what's the end result if we do get, you know, whacked, our heads whacked off? Well, you'd be right there next to Jesus. You'd be there for the rest of them. Praise God. One time I saw a YouTube, I probably mentioned this before, about they were filming these Muslims that were burning alive, these Christians. And there was one old man, and all the burning bushes, he pulled them up around him. He wasn't feeling any pain. God took the pain of death away from him because he was pulling it up around him. And the rest of them were scrambling, trying to get out of there, and they'd whack them and put them back in the fire, you know, and stack that stuff back up on them. But that old man, he was pulling the burning bushes up on his body. That's been 5 or 6 years ago that I saw that on YouTube on a deal. And that's the way we're going to be. It's not, we're, the sting of death, God's going to take away from his chosen people. It's not going to hurt us. Praise God. And if it's not time for you to go, you ain't going. You ain't going nowhere. I've often thought about what would happen if somebody came up to me with a pistol, or any one of y'all with a pistol, and he wanted your money, and you give him your money, and he wanted to kill you, but you'd have to warn him. That's what I can feature some of you doing that, because you're real bold in your faith in telling him. So hey, look, let me warn you about something here. I'm a child of God, and if it's not my time to go and you pull that trigger, you're a dead man. You know, you just warn him. Now, I remember reading about one guy that did that some years back. He told him that same thing. He told him, he said, now, if you pull that trigger, you're a dead man if it ain't my time to go. The guy threw the gun down and turned around and ran off, scared to death. I believe that kind of thing is going to happen in the days ahead. I believe he's going to put bold faith in his people. You know, something like that might bring that guy to Jesus. It might bring that guy to Jesus. Okay, somebody else got something they'd like to add or ask a question or whatever? We got a few minutes left.
Michael?
Yeah, Joe.
Good morning. I just want to find out, David was talking Sunday night about liquid fast. Can you tell me what counts as liquid, if you don't mind?
Uh-oh, I'm having trouble, Joe. I heard some of that. I understood some of that. Y'all might have to help me here.
He was talking about David mentioning a liquid fast. He was wondering what that entails.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you ain't the only one that asked that. A liquid fast is just that. You can use juices. This is what the Lord told Eve. You can use juices, anything liquid, if you have to work, you know. A lot of people have a job. Go ahead, Leon.
We blended up some tomatoes, made like a V8 thing today out of tomatoes and celery and some pickles and some odds and ends. So that we juiced that up ourselves, so we have some protein and something that we can utilize to make this fast to be not so burdensome. And I drink milk and coffee and water, you know, that's liquid, so, you know, that's all something you can use. And you can make up your own liquid, whatever you want. If you've got a juicer, you can just juice it up, or a mixer of some sort. You can mix up something, break it down, and make it juice, and just use that.
Thank you very much.
So it's kind of a broad stroke there with the liquid fast. Or you can just drink water, whatever you want to do, you know. Either one.
Thank you.
You bet, Joe. Yeah, that's. I believe what this is going to do, y'all. Here's what I think it's going to do. It's going to do a number of things. It's going to bring God's people in one accord. You remember what happened on Pentecost? For 10 days, they sat up there on top of that deal there, and they prayed, fasted. And I believe we could basically see the same thing. That's what I'm believing for anyway, so that it brings our hearts into one accord. And boy, this is going to be a powerful time. Yeah,
I have to confess, I haven't heard the full audio from Sunday yet, so I came on tonight eating some popcorn, so my apologies.
For shame, for shame.
You know, I feel it. You know, it's kind of hard right now. So.
Oh, well, that's okay. You know, just when you hear it, you know, just do whatever you think is necessary.
Right. Thank you.
Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
That's my confession for tonight.
Okay. Well, as a matter of fact, Eve started 2 days before us, so she's 2 days ahead. She'll be eating before we will. Praise God.
I had one of those, it's been the past couple of days, have been quite a bit of activity. We had my visit, what do you call that, like an appreciation for life or something like that from my mom on Sunday. And then we had relatives. We were doing that thing all day Sunday, and people come in from out of town. And Monday it was getting my daughter ready for college, because we took her to Grand Valley, which is a little ways up the road from here. But in the process, our dog died. So we're going through that grief process of the dog died and getting her off to college, and then the eclipse. So it's been the past couple of days been kind of rushed and weird.
Amen. Yeah, you look like your heart broke.
So I had to eat some popcorn. I'm sorry.
No problem. No problem. I don't think anybody worried about that.
Maybe okay. I can put some popcorn in a blender, you know.
Yeah, put a Coke on top of it. Maybe some ice cream. I don't know, is ice cream considered liquid? No, that's too much sugar, boys. That's too much sugar.
It's getting soft, it probably is.
Yeah. Okay, what do y'all want to talk about Thursday night? Somebody had a suggestion. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead. I want to hear what their suggestion was. You remember?
Well, I'm trying to think of what it was. well, I forget, John from Sweden came up with it the other day, and I thought about it, and I wrote it down, but it's up in Tennessee. I can't remember what it was. Something about, well, I can't, I might as well just hush because I can't remember what it was.
I was kind of thinking when we were getting off the last conference call, when we were discussing the possibility of the Sons of God, to continue on with that a little bit with how we'll talk about who the Sons of God are in the elect, the remnant, understanding the salvation process. Not that we don't already know that, but it just seemed like it. Now we know about who the sons of God and what they're supposed to be, but there was only a remnant that was saved even out of that. That's what was Noah's time, and we're kind of getting into those times again, the times of Noah,
mm-hmm.
the same time, the end times. Well, who's going to be the sons of God now? Who's going to be this remnant that's going to be saved? The bride, we're talking about the bride, where we got all these groups of people and how it's all going to play out maybe a little bit more, so we understand what maybe we do have somewhat of an idea what our role is, but what can we expect out of this? Is it again just going to be a remnant, just like the last time, or we can expect more than that?
Okay, so what does it mean? What does it mean to make? How do you become a son of God? Is that what you're saying, basically?
Well, we talked about sons of God.
Yeah,
we talked about, and we talked about a remnant, basically. What happened with Noah, only a remnant was saved, and that was his family. And even then, when they came into the new earth, you know, already there were starting to be divisions a little bit within his family, you know, about problems along the way. And now we're up to this point. So now we're going to look back and start looking at, okay, let's start looking this all over again. How's this all playing out? Let's look at the sons of God again. Let's take a look and look at the remnant. Let's look at, who we are and where this is coming to. This is getting to be like the times of Noah again.
Okay, you're talking about the differences between the bride and the rest of the body? I'm
sure.
Trying to get a... Okay.
Absolutely. We can do that too, because that it's all playing in. You've got Esther, you know, and you got her praying for the saints. And when going up and fasting 3 days before she goes and sees the king, and she went up to see the king without being notified to come see him. And, you know, and Mordecai saying, hey, you got to pray, for, you know, you better do this and go and start fasting and then go see the king about your people, because that knows they're going, you're going to be saved if you don't do this. So this all this plays in how we're working with this end time stuff. I mean, that's the part of the bride's responsibility, which we are doing right here with fasting.
Amen. Okay, we can do that. Difference in the bride and the rest of the body and other things of the end time remnant church. All right. Well, we're about out of time. Does anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? I appreciate y'all's prayers for Blake. It's been an awesome time for me since I've been home. And thank you so much for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come together in our humble attitude, Lord. We know that we are nothing without you. We are absolutely nothing without you. And Lord, we thank you for being the God that you are, that you're willing to give us rule over all of our lives around us, Lord. And well, it's just awesome to be able to watch how you work when saints get together and they pray. They pray the prayer of faith. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you do a work in all of us and give us strength to endure this fast and give us the wherewithal to know what to pray for your friends and your family members, and also the people in the fellowship to around us, Lord, that we place it in our hearts who to pray for, Father, And I thank you that you're going to do that. And I ask, Lord, that you give us dreams and visions about the things to pray for. And, Lord, I just glorify you. And I love you so much, Lord. I love you because you're who you are. You exude the completeness of love. And the way you do it is through your people. And it's just awesome to watch how people come together and pray and agree in prayer about something and to watch it come to pass, Father. You know, Lord, I wished I had taken the time to write all of the times in the past that I had prayed and you answered every one of them. And Lord, I'm just sorry that I didn't do that. I know I don't ever think about that when it's done. I'm just so awed by your answering prayer. So I just thank you, Father, for answering our prayers, giving us dreams and visions, giving us supernatural strength and endurance to finish this fast, Lord, with prayer on our minds. And Lord, just give us strength to walk through here and let us be just stronger on the other side, Lord, because the flesh has died and the spirit man has taken over. And we thank you for it. Be with us. Protect us. Give us a good night's sleep until the next time we see each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks. Let's see here.